100th time in the known universe. What's up? It's Movies On Up. It is our 100th episode extravaganza, spectacular blowout
episode.
Yeah, whatever. For almost the 100th time is my co-host, Mr. Dave Pacella.
That's me.
For the 100th time, it is me, Ryan McGee. You've
That's
got
him.
Me all 100 times.
Yeah, I think I sat out three or four or so.
Yeah. But yeah. More often than not, that's like you're at like 97%.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. If you're a listener and you've listened to all 100, let us know because you probably deserve a plaque.
I could probably think of maybe four people that have listened to every one of them.
So
maybe.
There are four listeners that have probably heard more of these episodes than you have.
Oh, yeah. I stopped listening a long time ago.
I don't blame you. They've really taken a dip recently. Recently, what we have been doing is giving you one discussion episode a week where we talk about one movie. We talk about it a lot, almost as long as it takes you to watch the movie. Our second episode has been a top five list. So Dave and I were kicking around, what do we want to do?
We wanted 100 to be something different, but we didn't want it to be...
It's still us, though. Still a Movies On Up episode.
We didn't want it to be like self-congratulatory or like walk down memory lane.
Because we did that already.
Yeah, and we didn't want to take the time to do a clip show.
Well, I didn't want to take the time to do a clip show.
Oh, yeah, I definitely am not doing it. You can't do like top five movies that have 100 in them because name me five.
Top five movies you've already talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, so we wanted to do something a little different, and we kind of did.
So we put together kind of the granddaddy of list episodes. It's going to be our top 50 of the last 50 years. So you're going to get 100 movies, 50 from Dave, 50 from me. There'll probably be a couple of bonuses strewn in there.
Year by year.
Yeah,
year by year. From 1962 to 2012.
At least two movies from each year you'll have to watch.
We're each going to give one movie, and we're going to keep our thoughts brief to keep this thing going.
Yeah, because we'd like to have you out of here by the time 2013 closes. If we miss any from your favorite years, let us know your thoughts. Always welcome. moviesonup@gmail.com is the email address. You can get at us on Twitter @moviesonup or on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. There is also the moviesonup.com website, your home for all things Movies On Up, which will include this episode and a blog later on at some point that'll have some rules for Fantasy Film Ball. We did our draft episode a couple weeks ago. None of these movies will be eligible, but I'm going to guess some of them would have been good choices for Fantasy Film Ball. You do have until the end of September to get those choices in. So do that quickly. Without further ado, how about we start way back in 1962? Dave, your favorite movie from 1962.
It's a messed up movie starring Bette Davis and Joan Crawford. Whatever happened to Baby Jane? She tormented her crippled sister is what happened to her.
What a witch. Mine from 1962 starring Peter O'Toole. It begins with him dying. It's Lawrence of Arabia. Really, really good war movie and one of the more iconic scores I can think of. 1963, Dave.
Charade, starring Cary Grant, Audrey Hepburn. I actually really like this movie. It was remade later with Mark Wahlberg and Thandie Newton as The Truth About Charlie. Not nearly as good.
No, actually, that was my pick for this one.
Truth About Charlie?
No. Oh. Charade, that was my pick. Very Hitchcockian movie. You would think it's directed by Hitchcock. It's not, but my fallback was directed by Hitchcock. It was The Birds.
I knew that was going to be yours. That's why it wasn't
That was
mine.
My number two.
And I like Charade better.
I do too.
My number...
1964.
Number 64.
Last year the Browns won a championship. 1964.
I switch over to comedy on this time, directed by Norman Bowman, starring Rock Hudson, Doris Day, Tony Randall for the third and last time together. Send Me No Flowers.
Mine, I guess, is also a comedy, directed by Stanley Kubrick. It's Dr. Strangelove. It's a bit different of a theme of a comedy, but there's laughs in both movies, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, I guess.
Sure. 1965.
My favorite title of the entire list.
Ooh.
Faster, Pussycat, Kill, Kill.
Russ Meyer. Classic exploitation flick. That was my second choice, a movie that I do like actually a lot more. It's another long one. Good Lord, this and Lawrence of Arabia will take you about 2 years to watch. Dr. Zhivago, really, really good flick about Russians. Good movie. And doctors. 1966.
My second question in our first five, starring Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton. Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf?
I'm not sure. I've got three guys that maybe you're afraid of Virginia Woolf. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly from 1966. 1967.
This movie I still love, and I tried to reference it once before, but I forgot the name. Very iconic scenes. Audrey Hepburn, Alan Arkin, Richard Crenna in 1967's Wait Until Dark. Just a great psychological thriller slash horror movie.
1967, this is one of my favorite movies. I kind of wish it would be updated. Starring Dustin Hoffman, it is The Graduate. I think it's great. One of the first movies to actually use pop music in its score. Almost a perfect movie. 1968.
I think this will kick off 2 years in a row where I take your number one. This is one of my favorite movies ever in the history of ever. Night of the Living Dead. This one was an easy year.
Yeah, that was my number one. My number two, also kind of in the same genre, Planet of the Apes, written in part by Rod Serling, whom I love from Twilight Zone. Both of those really good movies. 1969, you probably will pick my favorite, but that's okay because I have a pretty good backup.
The Wild Bunch.
Not my favorite, but that was my backup. My favorite from 1969, that's Midnight Cowboy. I'm a honk, I guess, for Dustin Hoffman. He was really, really good in this movie. He had a
string there in the. It's weird to look at him now and think like, oh, that dude goes back to like the mid '60s,
yeah,
where he was making like iconic movies, and he's still at it.
Yep,
crazy.
1970.
The Great White Hope, James Earl Jones, Lou Gilbert, awesome movie.
From 1970, for me, it's George C. Scott, Patton. The original, like the opening scene with him in front of the flag where he's talking about the secret to war is not giving your life for your country. It's making the other son of a bitch give his life for his. It's great. One of the best speeches given in any movie. And this is like right in the first 5 minutes of Patton from 1970. How about 1971?
I'm a sucker for sci-fi. I'm a sucker for the apocalypse. Give me Charlton Heston and the Omega Man.
I'm going to go with another Kubrick movie, Clockwork Orange, but with a kind of a caveat. I thought you might pick it. So another movie I like from 71, Clint Eastwood's directorial debut, Play Misty for Me. And I work at a radio station, so did he in that movie. 1972.
I realize this is the year that everybody's favorite movie came out.
It's not my favorite, but.
But I haven't seen it, so I had to go with Superfly.
I like Superfly a lot. Another great score. 1972. Is also, I guess, known not as just the year of Superfly. It's the year Godfather came out, so that's going to probably be on most people's lists. I thought Dave might pick it, and if he did, I would have said...
You were going to yell at me.
No, I would have said, hey, film, meet John Waters, Pink Flamingos, also in 1972. That was a really weird year. 1973, Dave.
Still one of my favorite movies. Still a director who, not as relevant, but still putting out some solid work and not afraid to take chances. The Exorcist.
Yeah, that was kind of my second. There's a bunch of movies that I like from this year. The Sting, I drool all over that movie. It was from 1973. I also like The Wicker Man a lot. Enter the Dragon was from 1973, as well as Serpico. All quality flicks from 73.
That was a good year.
Yes, it was. 1974, not too shabby either.
A lot like my pick from 1968, one of my favorite movies ever, especially in the genre, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I'm going to go with kind of co, because they both came out the same year by the same director, Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein. Hell of a year from Mel Brooks.
I had trouble. It was almost Blazing Saddles, but Chainsaw. I had to.
Fair enough. 1975.
Another one of my favorite movies of all time. One of my favorite lead acting performances of all time. Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Glad you mentioned that. That was my number one. My number two. Little movie starring Dustin Hoffman, Dog Day Afternoon.
I love that movie, too. That if I would have taken the time to pick two for every year like you did, I would have picked that one. But I knew I would be number one, so I'm just picking one.
Yep. 1976.
I just said I picked one, but 76, I couldn't pick just one. I kind of guessed what your number one was.
Should be pretty easy.
And I didn't know, I didn't want to pick it, and then I didn't want to pick either of the two obvious ones, so I went with Marathon Man.
I like that quite a bit. My number one, if you've ever heard this podcast, Network, love that movie. Got screwed at the Oscars. There was some boxing movie that came out that year that people seemed to like.
But then also that year, Logan's Run and
yes.
Carrie.
I love Logan's Run. Carrie's really good. And The Shootist, one of the best, I think, John Wayne performances ever. Does get kind of overlooked. 1977.
I would take the obvious one, but I'm going to give you the joy of it because it's one of your favorite movies. So I'm going to go with another movie I love, Annie Hall, Woody Allen. I'm not the biggest Woody Allen fan, but this movie, fantastic.
Yeah, apparently it was the best movie that year. That's at least what the Oscars said. I think everything else measurable in the universe, this galaxy or a galaxy far, far away, would beg to differ. 1977, obviously, the year A New Hope came out. I do love me some Star Wars. It's also the year Suspiria came out.
I was just going to mention Suspiria. I wasn't going to let us move on without
mentioning
Suspiria.
Oh, yeah. I love that a lot. I thought maybe if you took 77, I had a mention of Argento earlier. Since it didn't make it, I was not going to let 77 pass and not mention one of the best horror movies of all time. I suspect we might get a pretty good horror movie somewhere along the line in 1978.
If you consider Dawn of the Dead a pretty good horror movie, then yes, the second of Romero's to make my list.
Where I was going was the perfect horror movie, and that is Halloween. Really good. I mean, they're both good, but I like Halloween a little bit better. Another one that I wanted to put on because I thought you might pick it, Terrence Malick made Days of Heaven in 1978. One of the best filmed movies of all. The cinematography is beautiful. The movie itself kind of sucks, but watch it with the sound off. You'll love it. 1979, speaking of perfect horror movies.
Speaking of perfect year to be born, that is my birth year. I know what you're going to take, so
yes.
So I'm going to leave that to you, and I'm going to take one that's not as talked about as much, but was playing in the theaters the day I was born, Time After Time. Time travel movie, hunting down Jack the Ripper. Awesome movie. Would love to see it remade and updated. Fantastic movie.
The little horror movie that does get talked about a little bit from 79, of course, Alien, Ridley Scott's genre-defining movie. Really good.
And there is one that I had Time After Time, Alien, and there's one that I can't go on without mentioning.
A small Australian flick about a post-apocalyptic society?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Jerk.
Yes, The Jerk. Or Mad Max. Whatever. New decade, 1980.
Now I'm back to horror. We just did a full episode on this franchise, I don't know, last week or a couple weeks ago. Friday the 13th.
I'm going to go with Raging Bull. I love me some boxing movies, except for that one that came out in 1976. Don't care for that as much. The story of Jake LaMotta. It, wonderful, wonderful movie. Kind of gives the good and the bad about that character. 1981.
This is one that I think would probably be your first choice, but screw it. I didn't want to try to pick a second one. Time Bandits.
No, it actually doesn't make my first two choices at all. My first choice is Evil Dead from 1981.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, it is. 1982, Dave.
I'm going Puppets, The Dark Crystal.
All right, I'll go not Puppets, but Robots, Replicants, Blade Runner. I throw the word, or I will in this episode, genre-defining around quite a bit. 79, Ridley Scott did it with Aliens. Maybe did it again in 82 with Blade Runner.
I think Dark Crystal did the same for Puppet fantasy movies.
Yeah, God bless you, Jim Henson. I love you. 1983.
This one, I had trouble with this year at first until the obvious dawned on me. It's a movie that I can watch over and over again and always make me smile.
And you do?
I actually wouldn't complain if somebody aired it 24 hours in a row. It is
that
A
happens.
Christmas Story.
Yeah, that's kind of my backup. My first movie is very much different from A Christmas Story. It's Cronenberg's Videodrome. I do love that movie. It's another one that could use an update and would be pretty rad. 1984, really good year to be born in, really good year to go to the theater in as well. Go ahead and take the first crack, Dave.
Well, this was a really tough year for me. There was a lot that I looked at trying to decide, like a lot of movies I love. But then I went ahead and I picked one of my top five movies ever made that if you've ever heard me talk, if you've ever listened to this podcast, you know I love and adore.
Serenity wasn't made that year.
And cherish Gremlins.
For me, again, the same story that Dave just rattled off, except it would be the Ghostbusters. I damn love that movie. Terminator came out that year too. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention that. 1985.
I didn't grow up on a lot of Disney movies. I did not watch a lot of cartoons growing up because my brother was so much older. So I grew up on horror movies and action movies and stuff. But one Disney movie that I do love that I've made my kids watch, I gave my nephew a DVD when he was born, The Black Cauldron. Love the book, love the movie, would love to see an updated version of it. Just absolutely love.
Mine from 85, and I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit that this is the first appearance of Akira Kurosawa on my list. He made Ran in 1985, which is his adaptation of King Lear. It took him like a decade to actually get in the can, and the final fight scene at the fortress is just amazing. That guy is an incredible director. I think most people know him for Seven Samurai and for Rashomon, but Ran, really good as well from 85. 1986.
There's an obvious one here that is a sequel to an earlier choice that I'll mention it again because there's another one that I just rewatched a week or so ago, and I love this franchise, Critters.
Yeah, okay. You can have Critters. I will take another war movie, Platoon from 86, and also Stand By Me. Both really good movies.
Oh, see, I was leaving you Aliens.
Yeah, I like Aliens, but Jesus, 86 was a good year. What?
I know, Critters, Aliens.
Right.
The two you mentioned.
Those other two movies. How about 1987, Dave? What do you got for 87?
One of my favorite movie deaths ever. Fall in a vat of acid and then get hit by a car. RoboCop. 8-year-old me loved the violence, the brutality, Detroit, everything about this movie I loved.
A 4-year-old, or three-year-old version of me at this point. I didn't see this movie when it came out of the theater. I saw it when it was released on home video. It is still one of my all-time favorites to this point. I've talked about it a lot. It is The Princess Bride. I love that movie. I don't care, young or old, you'll love Princess Bride. That'll be one that when I ever do legitimately sire children, I will make them watch. 1988.
Another obvious year for me. Movie I go on and on about, Any Given Chance, starring Val Kilmer in one of my favorite character roles in any movie ever as Mad Mardigan. It is Willow.
For 1988, it is a little movie starring an actor that I may or may not have mentioned once or twice on my list already. Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise. I think at some point there has to be a Dustin Hoffman episode in the works. That idea has just started to gestate now. This is the birth of it. 1989.
This is one of those where a lot of mine didn't get Best Picture love. This one also didn't. It is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
No, good movie, though. I like it quite a lot. I've got a lot of war movies. This is another war movie starring Matthew Broderick, starring a bunch of people. Glory. Awesome, awesome movie.
I love that movie so much.
It's sad that, like, as a kid, I remember the guy getting his head shot off with a cannon. But, like, there's such a great movie. And I don't think that got the love that it deserved in 88, but I wouldn't know because I was 4.
Denzel stole that.
Or 5, whatever.
That movie was so good.
Yeah, it did. How about 1990?
It's another obvious one if you've heard me talk. Sometimes, in present day, this topic sometimes makes me angry. It is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, one of my favorite creative creations of all time.
I will take Goodfellas. I think that is one of, if not the perfect mob movie. If that's not the perfect one, I don't know what is, but Goodfellas from 1990. 1991, Dave.
It's another sequel on my list. I've had a couple so far. It's a sequel to a movie that appeared earlier on my list. It is Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
I'm going to go with a Disney cartoon that was nominated for Best Picture that year, Beauty and the Beast. Really, really good. And just so that I maintain some manly points, also 1991, Barton Fink. One of the Coen brothers' best movies. Love that.
I had an also-ran from 91 that I wanted to make sure I mentioned, too, because I just rewatched it. It's an awesome movie. Backdraft.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. 1992. This is a pretty good one, too.
Another movie I love. I know it's not on your radar. I've gushed about it before. Lou Gossett Jr., James Woods, a young Heather Graham, Bruce Dern, Digstown.
Yeah, not on my radar, but I do like, there's some violent movies in 92. I'm going to go with a couple. Reservoir Dogs, obviously. It's probably my favorite Tarantino movie. And Hard Boiled, that's one that I think a lot of people kind of overlook. John Woo may have made a more badass movie than Tarantino did that year. And Chow Yun-Fat, the Chinese John McClane, who's to say? 1993.
I went with the obvious one.
I think there's a couple obvious ones.
I went with my obvious one, starring Ariana Richards.
Sure.
Jurassic Park.
And a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Mine stars a little girl in a red dress. It's Schindler's List. That was a pretty good movie. 1993 had a couple movies that made a lot of money. 1994 was nuts. Dave and I have kicked around the idea of just doing an episode entirely based on 1994, and here are a couple of the movies that would make it.
Yeah, I think Ryan's going to go with what would have been my number one, so I'm going to let him take the glory on that. I'm going with Quiz Show, a movie that had it come out a different year would have been remembered a lot more and actually gotten a lot more praise. But it was such a good year for movies that year that I think Quiz Show kind of flew under the radar.
Maybe we've already done this episode because I feel like
we talked about it on our Oscar episode.
Okay. Maybe top five, like Oscar. Misses. Because 94 was a year that a bunch of films could have won.
That whatever you're going to say next did not win Best Picture.
Shawshank Redemption.
How did that not win Best Picture?
Hindsight being 2020, yeah, it's almost a perfect movie, but yeah, didn't win Best Picture. I mean, I like Forrest Gump. I sure do, but that didn't make, Pulp Fiction was also 94.
Yeah.
That was just a hell of a year.
Yeah, it was. If you had an Oscars of all time, I would think Shawshank would probably get a nomination for Best Picture. Just such a good movie. Yeah. And then while we're talking about great movies, I also wrote down for that year The Ref, starring Dennis Leary.
Because that movie also came out in 1994. 1995, not too shabby with the movies you could have picked from this year either.
No, but I went with one that I love. I went with what's right in there in the box. I went with Seven, Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman. This movie was my high school years. I loved it so much.
I do like Seven. I was in fifth grade, so I didn't see that in 1995. What I did see in 1995 was Toy Story. 1996.
I'm not going to say this was the best movie release. I'm not going with the best movie this year. I'm going to go with the movie that I fell in love with my senior year of high school. I didn't see it right away, but by end of high school, going into college, I adored Swingers.
Oh, I thought you were going Trainspotting.
I didn't go Trainspotting.
No, you didn't.
That
Fargo
was
also came
ran,
out that
yeah.
year. That Fargo would have been mine. 1997.
97, Good Will Hunting. That was another good year. There's a lot of good movies that year, but I had to go Good Will Hunting.
Fair enough. I went L.A. Confidential. I love film noir. Had we done this list when it started in the 40s and 50s, we'd had probably 20 film noirs in there. L.A. Confidential, a neo-noir, the best example of that neo-noir genre. So check out L.A. Confidential from 97. 1998.
98 was tough because I love Out of Sight. Out of Sight's the first one to come to mind. I'm just going to rattle off all three of mine because I have three written. Out of Sight was the first one that came to mind, one of my favorite movies ever, but I talk about that movie all the time. So this bouncing off of Swingers.
This is the second time this week you've talked about how you talk about Out of Sight all the time and then pick something else instead of it.
Yes. Yes, this follows up from my pick from 96 because I became obsessed with Vince Vaughn. 1998 for Vince Vaughn. I had trouble debating between two of them. Return to Paradise, one of the best dramas ever, one of the most underrated movies I've ever seen. Bad Vacation movie, fantastic movie. But what I ended up going with is a movie that I honestly don't think I've ever mentioned on the podcast yet, but it's a movie that I can watch over and over and over again. I love it. Joaquin Phoenix and Vince Vaughn, again, from Return to Paradise. Clay Pigeons.
I've got a couple. One is the most gender-divided movie I've ever come across in my life. If you're a woman, you hate it. If you're a dude, you love it. If you are a woman and you love it, you need to be my wife. It is the Coen Brothers' Big Lebowski. And also a movie that I really think is awesome. It's directed by Tom Twinker, the guy who was a co-director on Cloud Atlas, another movie that I like. It's Run, Lola, Run. Awesome movie. Nonlinear storytelling. Really good German flick.
Not even, I wouldn't even call it nonlinear. It was a different alternate timeline storytelling. Such a good movie.
Yeah.
Such a unique movie.
Especially at the time.
Yeah, it was ballsy. It was courageous. It came out. It was really unique to see, and I loved it.
Yep. 1999.
I have three written down. I'll get back to them. I have to go with the obvious one.
Fair enough.
Fight Club.
Okay, I've got one that I know you're going to talk about. It's, again, genre-defining. It put found footage on the map. It was Blair Witch Project.
That one slipped my mind.
Oh,
that
good.
Actually, yeah, I also genre-defining as far as genetically engineered shark movies go. I'm putting Deep Blue Sea and also Dogma. I love Dogma. I had trouble debating between those three.
Okay. 2000. In the year 2000, distant future.
another movie I just rewatched it again for probably the 100th time. I've talked about it a lot. I mention it any chance I can get because I don't think as many people have seen this as they should. Benicio del Toro, Ryan Phillippe, a million other awesome people. The Way of the Gun, written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah, I agree. 2000 for me, if you are an adult and you like The Hunger Games and you have not seen Battle Royale, shame on you. Stop what you're doing now. Actually, just wait. Listen to the rest of our podcast because we're almost done. But when you're done with that, watch Battle Royale because you'll dig it. 2001.
I had to go Josie and the Pussycats. I know there were others that I didn't write down.
Are
but
you
I,
kidding?
I just went Josie and the Pussycats. I figured you would cover the rest.
Yeah, I think I got you covered. I'm going to go with my backup first. It was Spirited Away. It was one of those first Japanese cartoons that really got a lot of traction around Oscar time for Best Picture. Another one that was kind of a darling, Black Hawk Down. That was another good one from 2001. How about 2002, Dave?
My favorite movie of all time, 28 Days Later.
Okay, I could see where you're going there. Mine is, it's way off the radar, and I don't think people have seen it, but it is absolutely a phenomenal movie. I believe it was Brazilian. It's called City of God. If you haven't seen it, it is wonderful. About inner city gang members and, oh, God damn.
That's one of the most wonderfully directed movies ever. Just the work on that from a filmmaking stand. I usually try to avoid the F word, but as a film and like from a filmmaking standpoint, one of the most like gorgeously crafted movies and one of the most amazing directing jobs I've ever seen.
Yeah, I really can't speak highly enough of it. And there wasn't even another choice for me. That had to be it. 2003.
This is a movie I think is perfect. It's different than everything else this director has done. It's not what he's known for, but it's far and away his best picture. Stars a dashing Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, me too.
Big Fish.
Yeah.
This is a perfect movie.
I love Big Fish, and it's such a weird movie. Not exactly what you expect, but it is so good. I'm glad you mentioned it because it gives me a chance to mention my second choice, Old Boy. Chan Park Wook, really good. Check it out, Old Boy. Or just wait, I don't know, a couple months. Check out the Spike Lee joint if you want, but don't. See 2003, it's original. 2004.
Another movie I think is perfect. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. This movie, it's so good. Like, guys could love it, girls can love it. The cast is amazing. It's beautifully directed. It's a cool story. It's one of those love stories that I have no problem admitting that I adore.
Yep, that was my second choice. Ranks just behind House of Flying Daggers. I absolutely love that movie. I think lots of people have probably seen Crouching Tiger, and, you know, okay, you should. That's a good movie. But I think, the cinematography on this one, the fight choreography, is tremendous. The final fight scene, I think I ended up doing a breakdown of it in one of my film classes because I love it that much. It's a really pretty movie to watch. It's one of the first Blu-rays I ever bought because it looks really pretty on my TV. House of Flying Daggers, 2005.
If you've listened to the podcast before, you've probably heard me gush about this movie, especially if you listened earlier this week. It is Joss Whedon's Serenity.
Mine is a movie that you gushed about during, I think it was our Animal Attack movie. This is the only documentary that appears on my list. It's Grizzly Man.
Yeah, that's...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, he dies at the end.
No! 2006. I bet I know what your 2006 movie
is. It's a top three movie ever for me. The director has had my most anticipated movie for the last 2 years in a row. And it finally comes out next week. It is Alfonso Cuarón's Children of Men.
Yeah, I put that on there. I don't know why, because I knew you were going to take it. My movie from 2006 is a movie that I can watch almost at any given time. And the drunker I get, the funnier it is. It's Borat. I love me some Borat.
Also in 2006 is a movie that we talked about a lot. We've talked about a lot, especially last October. And I'm mentioning it because it's timely. Because
we might be talking about it next week.
We're going to be talking about it next week. It is Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Spoiler alert. We're talking about that next week. We are talking about 2007 right now.
Another top three movie for me. This and my 2006 selection. I'd have trouble saying which one's second, which one's third, but it's from the same director as my favorite movie of all time. It is Sunshine.
Sunshine, really good. My favorite movie that I saw in 2007 was Juno. I recently, not as recently, the past couple years, checked out Ang Lee's Lust Caution from 2007. That's a really good flick, too. Ang Lee is awesome. This is, I'm not going to mention his movie from 2012, so I wanted to sneak in Lust Caution from 07. 2008, kind of an interesting year. A lot of good movies.
But it was an easy one for me because there were a lot of good movies, but I didn't love any of them any more than I loved In Bruges.
I liked In Bruges a lot. I think that I liked The Wrestler even more, but maybe even more than The Wrestler, WALL-E. I thought that was a fantastic movie from 2008. 2009,
another movie I love. There's a lot of sci-fi on my list. This is a director that...
There is. You're like a nerd.
He burst on the scene with this one. It's District 9. Just an awesome, awesome movie.
This is another one, much like when I talked about City of God. I can't not mention this movie from 09. It was a Mexican movie called Sin Hombre. Again, kind of a gang element, but it's a fantastic movie. There was also a cartoon that was pretty good that year, Up. Check that out, too. Pixar was on a little bit of a roll. How about 2010?
How proud of me are you that I made 48 years before I went to Australia for a pick?
I'm surprised.
It's a small Australian film starring Ryan Kwanten, Red Hill. Just a really cool movie. It had a feel of like what I wanted No Country for Old Men to be. Just a really cool movie that kind of flew under the radar. But it got the director the job of Expendables 3.
Hooray! My movie from 2010 got the star a job in the sequel. From The Fighter, Marky Mark showing that the dude can actually act. Christian Bale was awesome. Actually, everybody in this movie, Amy Adams was awesome. Really well-acted movie. And again, I love me some boxing movies, except for the one that came out in 1976. The Fighter, 2010. 2011.
Another sci-fi movie and a comedy, Attack the Block. Awesome British alien invasion movie. Fantastic. Just awesome, awesome movie.
This movie could have been my bonus watch. This from our last episode, a movie starring George Clooney. The Descendants, loved it. 2012, last year, Dave.
This one, if you've been with us for a while.
You did that. You gave like a movie that was your favorite from 20, like when we did our favorite movies from 2012. You're going to put one of those on here?
I am. I'm putting my favorite movie from 2012 because okay. I went over the last 50 years and I gave my favorite movie for the most part, except I'll tell you in a minute why you should be extra proud of me. So for 2012, I went with my favorite movie of last year, Safety Not Guaranteed.
I didn't. I went with Silver Linings Playbook. I love that movie.
That is a good movie.
And I also put on Beasts of the Southern Wild.
That is a good movie.
Because I love both of those. And there were a lot of good movies that came out. I saw all the Oscar movies from 2012 except for Amour. I still haven't seen that yet. I think I made up with Michael Haneke. I put another one of his movies on my list.
But you picked Seeking a Friend for the End of the World as your favorite movie of last year.
I did. And it is my favorite movie from last year. But I didn't want to put it on this list because I'd already talked about Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
I didn't care.
I love that movie.
You know what I did do that you should be proud of me, though? If we go back to 1989, what movie did I not mention?
Why would we go back to 1989?
I'm just saying. That's how proud of me you should. I'm making progress in 100
episodes.
Did
you put the new batch on there?
That's 90.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did skip that one, but I did not mention Deep Star 6.
Yeah, that's true.
In 1989.
I find it
progress.
Odd. I find it odd that I didn't, in 80, I talked about Raging Bull and Caddyshack. I didn't mention my favorite Star Wars movie, Empire.
Yeah,
that was from
80. I left it off because
you thought I was just going to put like, okay, 80, 83, 99, just going to have six Star Wars movies on there.
I thought the first two.
Yeah, no, I think I made my point. Yeah, that was kind of a brisk walkthrough of 50 years.
We gave you over 100 movies there.
Yes, well over 100 movies.
Yeah, going back 50 years. But that was, we just want to do something different for 100. And I feel like that went okay.
Yeah, I think it did. It did feel kind of weird to not expound a lot about some
like
of the movies.
It was like rapid fire.
Yeah, it was. I think we did a good job. I was kind of nervous that we would start running our mouths, but we really didn't.
And a lot of them we've said before. So I just... I think if you've never listened to this, if you're picking episode 100 as your starting point.
Welcome.
I think you get a good grasp on what our tastes are. Like, I think
Dave likes sci-fi movies.
Yeah, I guess. That surprised me.
And I like cartoons, apparently.
Yeah, I just think, like, if you go and just see what we decided to talk about, it really sums up kind of where our tastes are.
I'm pumped that we were able to do this list. I think a lot of the movies that I end up seeing are ridiculously old. I mean, they're made, a lot of the movies that I've seen have been made between, you know, the 40s and I would say 1970. I mean, that I don't know that that's necessarily my wheelhouse, but I've seen a lot of movies in there, and it just, sometimes I kind of try and plug them in, maybe try and make a square peg fit in a round hole. But it was nice to be able to, you know, actually have a good reason to talk about movies, you know, from the 60s and from the 70s. I had a good time doing that.
Yeah, and I knew you would have more an easier time doing that than I would. And if we went back any further, like once we got in the 70s, I was okay. But if we were to go before that, I would have had a lot of trouble.
So for like 200, you don't want to go like our top 100 movies from the past 100 years?
I would be screwed.
Okay. So we probably won't do that. Maybe we'll get, I guess we'll get another 100 episodes. I really didn't think we'd, I didn't think we'd get 100 to begin with.
No, I'm happy. I mean, we did the switch to two episodes a week that we did in about 6 months ago, I think, helped.
Was it 6 months ago?
I think it was April, damn. February or March. It was March, beginning March, so it was even longer than that. But if you've been with us this whole time, thank you, because we're doing this because we love movies.
Yeah, like, that's not really for the paycheck, that's for
sure. That's really as simple as you can put it. Me and Ryan love talking about movies. And I realize we have specific tastes at times and might have, you know, might like Deep Star 6 more than most people. But if you've listened, even not 100, if you've listened at all, thank you. Because I realize we didn't want this to be like super self-referential, but it means the world to us. And I don't think we say thank you nearly enough, but just know that we appreciate it. And anybody that's listened, anybody that's ever told a friend, emailed in anything, just thank you very much, because it's a blast. If it wasn't, we wouldn't still be doing it a year and 5 months later whenever we started this.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, I said I didn't think we'd do 100. It's a lot of work to try and do one episode a week, let alone two. But, you know, when you do see that people are listening, and you assume that they're listening because they like it, it's a free show that you do have to put in at least a little bit of work to find, to get. So, you know, the fact that people are finding it does mean a lot to us. And it makes, you know, however much, you know, work and time that we put in, it makes it absolutely worth it. I don't need, you know, and I'll never ask for a dime to do the show. I just really dig that you guys are at least interested enough in what we say. And I would love to hear, you know, from you what you guys think. As much as I like talking to Dave about movies, that shit gets old after about 100 episodes. So if you guys have any thoughts, you know, please, like Dave said, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet your thoughts directly at us @moviesonup, or, you know, leave us, if you want to leave us a Deep Star, or not Deep Star 6, Deep Blue Sea. If you want to leave us a clip from Deep Blue Sea, because it is our 100th birthday, I guess, that would be somewhat appropriate. You can do that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup.
Yeah, this week the timing worked out perfect, because all the time that we've been doing the show, last October was one of my favorite, because we both love horror movies, and we did 5 episodes last October of just horror movies. This year we get to do 10, because there's 5 weeks again that kicks off next week. So next week will be a lot of fun. We're going to do an episode on Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, and we're going to talk about our favorite John Carpenter movies. So we're going to kick off October, I think, properly, and then there will be 8 more episodes to come, which I'm excited for October, because October is a fun time for us. So thank you, and hang out through October, please.
There will probably be a Deep Star 6 episode in there somewhere.
Possibly.
It's probably coming.
Because we don't, unless you can suggest us another movie to
unless
watch.
You really don't want us to talk about Deep Star 6, in which case, get on the stick, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com, on the Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup. You can get @Dave on the Twitter.
@DaveBasella or DaveBasella.com. But I guess that's it for now. Until 101.
Keep it up.